Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Chaf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. This Mishnah continues with the style that we've been discussing in the Perek. We'll continue with these sugyas until the end of the Perek in Mitzvah Hashem, where the Mishnah contrasts one halachic subject to another halachic situation. It says the Mishnah, Tor B'Klicheres, what is Tahor? By an earthenware keli, klicheres means something made out of earthenware, out of clay. It's tamei b'kolah kelim. By all other kelim will be tamei. And what's tar b'kolah kelim, a situation that would be tar b'kolah kelim, is tamei b'klicheres, is tamei b'klicheres. We'll explain this immediately in the Gemara. Before we go into the Gemara, there's a famous chassidus shavart from the Degel Machna Ephraim on this Mishnah. He says that this Mishnah is teaching us a very important lesson in life. He says that there are different people in the world, and different people in the world are to be treated differently, are to be taught differently. He says what's tahar by one person is tamei by another person, and what's tamei by that person is tahar by this person. We have to remember the individuality of every person. Begins the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. What does the Mishnah mean? Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah means is avikliheres, that something that's suspended, if tuma is suspended in a klicheres, it's tamei v'gabei tahar. But if tuma touches the exterior of a klicheres, even though that's the classical case of tuma, the classical case of tuma is that something tamei is touching the keli, it would not be tahar. Whereas by all other kelim, avikola kelim, if there's something tamei suspended in all other kelim, that keli remains tahar. The gabon, but if something tamei touches the exterior of a keli, not a klicheres, then that keli will become tamei. So says the Braisa Nimtza. So what do we find? That, as we learned just now in our Mishnah, what's tahar b'klicheres? A situation that klicheres will be tahar when tumah touches its exterior will be tamei b'kol kelim, if tumah touches their exterior. And what's tar b'kala kalim, whereby all kalim, if tum is in their interior, suspended in their interior, they will remain tahar, tamei b'klicheres, but a klicheres, such a situation would be tamei. Although our Gemara clearly indicates, and we're going to be discussing this extensively now in our Shir Mitzvah Shem, that by klicheres, if tamei, it only becomes tamei if there's tamei suspended in the klicheres, the Mefarshim point out there are certain exceptions to this rule. One exception to the rule is Hesaita Shel Zav. Hesaita Shel Zav means that we know anything that the Zav moves or causes to move becomes Tamei. So here, even if a Zav makes the Klicheres move, so it's not the interior, it's exterior, it'll become Tamei. Another case that many Rishonim say is that Chazal said that if Mashkin Tameim, Tamei de beverages touch a keli, that keli becomes tamei. And according to most Rishonim, that halacha applies by klicheres as well. Some Rishonim disagree. Then there's another machloikus Rishonim. There's a case called yodos hakelim, that the handles of a keli, if somebody touches a handle of a keli, that keli becomes tamei. And the Rishonim debate, was that rule only said by kelim that are not klicheres? Was that rule even said by klicheres? What is the question dependent on? The question is dependent on why is a yad hakeli metame? What is when somebody tamei touches the yad, does it become tamei? Is it because it's on the outside of the keli and therefore becomes tamei? If that's the reason, so klicheres, as we just finished saying, there is no din that the outside becomes tamei. Or perhaps because the yad has its own independent identity. If that's the reason, so the same rule would apply by klicheres as well. Furthermore, it is the opinion of most Rishonim that indeed, as we just learned and will learn, that a klicheres only becomes tamei by something tamei being suspended in that keli. But once it becomes tamei, not only is the interior tamei, but even the exterior is tamei. So let's say you'll have a situation where you have a klicheres and there was something tamei suspended in it and it became tamei. So not only what's inside will become tummy in the future, but anything that touches the outside will become tummy as well. Because once it's tummy, it's full-fledged tummy. The Rashbam disagrees, and the Rashbam's opinion is that the outside of Kli Cheres never is Tamei. And even if it became Tamei from the interior, still the exterior is not Tamei. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know this rule that distinguishes between a Kli Cheres and all other Kelim? Says the Rabbanan, the Tanar Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us Toichai. Important to read the words of the Pasuk. The words of the Pasuk are the Kli Cheres Ashiyit So the Torah uses the words Taichai. Explains the Gemara. Taichai, Fafbi, Shleinoga. That what's inside becomes Tamei, even though it didn't touch. Anything that's suspended in a Kli Cheres that's Tamei, becomes Tamei. At the Oima Abbi Shleinoga, is that rule even if it didn't touch? Or Eina Ela? Maybe something only becomes Tamei if it actually touches the wall of the Kli Cheres, otherwise it will not. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan ben Aftolos Omer, Nema Toichel Tamei, Nema Toichel Tamei. The Torah says that a Kli Cheres, its interior is Matamei, and its interior becomes Tamei. Ma Toichel Ha'omel Tamei. The halacha is that the interior of a Kli Cheres is Matamei. Anything that's it, that is in its interior, Abishloi Naga, even though it didn't touch the walls of the Kli Cheres, Af Toichai Omla Tamei, the Kli Cheres becomes Tamei, Abishloi Naga, even though the Dover Tamei did not touch the walls of the Kli Cheres. Ask the Gemara, V'hosa Manala. We're taking it as a Dover Poshet, we're taking it as an obvious fact that if something comes in to the interior of a Kli Cheres that's Tamei, even if that item, object, did not touch the walls of the Kli Cheres, it will become Tamei. Ask the Gemara, how, and then we're expanding it to say, that's also how it becomes Tamei. Says the Gemara, from where do you assume that that is the halacha? That anything that's in the within the walls of the Kli Cheres, even if they're not touching the walls, but if the Kli Cheres is Tamei, it will become Tamei. Ask the Gemara, v'hosam anolam. Answers the Gemara, Amr Reb Yonason, HaTayri Ida Kli Cheres, the Torah speaks about Kli Cheres, it says, V'filim Malei Chardal. Anything that's in the Kli Cheres, even if it's full of mustard seed, will not become, everything in it will become Tamei. So as Rashi explains, and Rashi is a very important Rashi, it's the top Rashi in the Amid. Rashi says that mustard seeds are small seeds. So the halacha is, according to Rashi, that to be makabel tumah, to become tamei, it doesn't make a difference how big the food is. But to transmit tumah, the halacha is, it has to be at least a kebeya. So here, yes, if we'll say that only something that's touching the walls of the Kli Cheres become tamei, so maybe we could understand, says Rashi, all of the mustard seeds that are on the outside perimeter touching the wall become tamei. But we just learned that everything in the Kli Cheres is Tamei. How does everything in the Kli Cheres become Tamei? Because one mustard seed touches the next mustard seed. But Rashi goes on to say, first of all, it's not so obvious that food is Metama other food. And furthermore, even if it is Metama, we know that as things get Tamei, they go down in levels. So if the first seed is a Rishon L'Tumah, the second seed will be a Sheni L'Tumah. And the third seed will be a Shlishi L'Tumah. And the fourth seed will be a Revi L'Tumah. And Shlishi is only by Truma and Kachim. And Revi is only by Kachim. And Rechamishi never exists. And therefore, the only reason we're saying it becomes Tamei is because everything that's in the interior of the Kli Cheres obviously becomes Tamei. That's how Rashi explains. So firstly, the Rishonim ask, I said that it is the opinion of Rashi that for something to become Tamei, it doesn't make a difference what size it is. Only to transmit Tumah further is there a nafgamina. But we know that Tosfos' opinion is that even to accept Tumah, it has to be a Kebeya. So how can we say, asked the Mefarshim, that how will Tosfos explain the Gemara? A Chadol is too small to even be Mekabel Tumah. So that's why the Rishonim explained that Tosfos is going to have to explain that even though the Gemara uses the word chardal, it doesn't mean mustard seed, because mustard seed is too small to become Tamei. It uses that word, but it's not what it meant. But then, I mean, teretz is not a great teretz, and there's anyway a problem. Rashi here, very interesting Rashi, as I quoted Rashi. Rashi says, the first problem is that chadol is too small to transmit tumah further. And then Rashi went on to say, and even if it transmits tumah further, it wouldn't be able to transmit tumah, and it wouldn't go far enough. So what's Rashi saying? Very difficult Rashi to understand. Once it's not able to transmit tumah, so Rashi should have finished. Why does Rashi keep on talking? So the Mefarshim say, interesting pshat, there's an interesting me'iri, that even if we have the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos, that according to Rashi, unless it's the size of a kebaya, it can't transmit tumah further. And according to Tosfos, it can't even become tumah. That's when it's not a beri b'fnei atzma. So if you have a piece of food, it has to be at least the size of a beya. But here we're talking about a mustard seed. Each seed has its own significance. Could be everybody will agree that it could be makabel tumah. Tosfos will agree. Rashi will agree that it could pass on tumah. So the fact that it's a mustard seed is not the issue. So Rashi goes on to say there are other problems. So the problem with Tosfos is resolved because it's a barrier. And furthermore, now we understand why Rashi gives us other issues. Because even if it's not an issue how it's transmitting tumah, but then there's other issues as we described. Ask the Gemara, Amalerev Adabar Hava L'Rava, V'yikliches Metamim Megaber Mekava Chaymer. Why should we not say that a klicheres could become tamei by something tamei touching its exterior by saying the following kavachomer? If all kalim, as we described earlier, don't become tamei from something tamei coming in the exterior, metame megabam become tamei by something tamei touching its exterior. So klicheres that we just finished proving, shemetamei iviroi, that does become tamei by something tamei being in its interior, ain't a din shetamei begaboy, certainly it should become tamei by something tamei touching its exterior. And as the Rishonim explain, even though in halacha, and we'll even mention some of these halachas, there are very significant differences between a klicheres and all other kalim. So why is the Gemara suggesting that we should learn the halacha of klicheres from all other kalim? Explain to Rishonim, it is not the purpose of the Gemara to say that we should learn a klicheres from other kalim. Klicheres and other kalim are very different. What the Gemara means to ask is that we're talking about how something becomes tamei, and that there should be an equality, or should be the same by all kalim. Answers the Gemara, Amakra, because it's a pasuk, a very famous pasuk. The pasuk says, we know that there's tumas oil. What does tumas oil mean? That anything that's in the same room, under the same roof, as a mace or a kazayis from a mace, becomes tumah. It's a very serious tumah. But the Torah says, regarding klicheres, the kol kli psuach, any open keli, she'ein tsomet pasav lav, that is not sealed, becomes tumah if it's in the same room as a mace, tumas oil. Explains the Gemara. The pasuk is differentiating if it's a sealed keli versus not a sealed keli. Why is there a difference? Have a oimer, zeklicheres. And what is the Torah teaching us? V'chi ain't somit pasul of the tamei. Only if it doesn't have a seal, that's when the tumah becomes tamei. Hayesh somit pasul alav, if it's a sealed klicheres, even though it's in the same oil as a mace, it would be tahor. Now let's try to understand. If a klicheres becomes tamei from the exterior, so what does the fact that it's sealed help me? The fact that the Torah teaches us that if it's sealed, there won't be tamei, because what's the Torah teaching us? It only becomes tamei because the tumah goes into the interior, and if the interior is sealed off, you save it from becoming tamei. So from here we see that it becomes tamei from the interior and not from the exterior. Interesting machlokes. I don't even remember how we learned in yeshiva. The Torah used the word tzomet pasul. So one word means the lid, and one word means the seal. The Rishonim debate, however, which word means what. Some Rishonim say that tzomet means the lid, and pasul means the seal. And some Rishonim say that pasul means the lid, and tzomet means the seal. Question and definition. Now ask the Gemara a different question, however. V'yekola kelim matam ma'avirah. We said at the beginning of our shir that all kalim only become tamei by something tamei touching the outside or the inside, but touching, just because it's suspended, it doesn't become tamei. why don't we make the following Kal V'chaymer? And again, as the Rishonim point out, it is not the goal of the Gemara with this question to suggest that they should only become Tamei Me'avira. That's not what the Gemara means to say. What the Gemara means to say is that not only should they become Tamei Migabon, they should also become Tamei Me'aviram. Because we should make the following Kal V'chaymer. Oma Klicher She'en Metam Megaboy, if a Klicher, as we just finished proving, does become Tamei from the exterior, Metam Me'aviroy, does become Tamei from the interior, then Kol HaKelim She'metam Megaboy, all other Kelim that become Tamei from the exterior, Ein Adin She'metam Me'aviroy, certainly should become Tamei from the interior as well. Answers the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk that we quoted earlier, the Pasuk says, Toichai, to teach us, only by kli cheres is there a din that what is in its interior is metameh, lo toicha shalacha, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what toicha is teaching us? We've explained it earlier, that's coming to teach us that just like a kli cheres is metameh ma'aviroi, it becomes tameh ma'aviroi. So we already used the toicha. How can we use it to teach us another halacha? Answers the Gemara, and again, let's read the words of this pasuk. The pasuk reads as follows. The pasuk reads, "V'kol kli cheres ashiyipa mehem al toichai, kol ashe betoichai yitma ivoisu shishbayru." So the Torah says the words toichai twice in this pasuk. Explains the Gemara. Since the Torah uses the words toichai twice, we have four words that we could use to teach us halakas. Toichai, 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 toichai. The Torah could have written the word toich. The Torah wrote the word toichai. Maybe the Torah didn't even write the word toich. So we have four limudim. Chad is to teach us the basic halacha that we're learning. Lagufei, that anything that's in the kli cheres becomes tamei. One rule. Chad is to teach us the gzeir shava that we learned earlier. That just like anything in the kli cheres becomes tamei, so too does the kli cheres become tamei by something tamei being suspended in it. The chad to teach us the halacha that we just discussed, toicha shel zeh v'lo toicha shel acher, that this halacha of suspension in the interior is limited to kli cheres, not to any other kelim. The chad toicha v'lo toicha, only what's inside, not what's inside, and I'll explain this in a moment. But feel kli shetef. First of all, what is kli shetef? Kli shetef are all other kelim besides kli cheres. Why are they called kli shetef? For we know that a kli cheres, even if it becomes tamei, by putting it into the mikveh, it doesn't become tahar. There is no mikveh for kli cheres. The only way kli cheres becomes tamei is shviras and zutaras, and you have to break them. However, all other kelim, you can put into the mikveh. What is the definition of the word shetef, shtifa, to wash? So all other kelim become tahar by shetef, by being washed in the mikveh, and that's why the word shetef is the word that the Gemara uses for them. So now what does the Gemara mean? So the Rishonim say what the Gemara means is as follows. That let's say we have a kli cheres, and the kli cheres is tamei because there was something suspended in the kli cheres. And now we have another keli in the kli cheres. We have another keli in the kli cheres, and that other keli in the kli cheres is not a kli cheres necessarily. It's even a kli shetef. And it's taller than the outside keli, and it's above. And it's above the kli cheres. That the halacha is that that keli or anything in that keli will not be tamei. Why? And as Rashi explains, there's a tremendous chiddush being taught here. The chiddush that's being taught here is that even though outside of this inner keli is tamei, and as we've been learning in our entire shiur, the outside of all other kelim are metamei, here what's inside will be saved. There's a machloikas achroinim, how far to take Rashi's pshat. Some achroinim explain that what Rashi means to say is that even if it's touching the outside of this other keli, the other keli will prevent anything inside it from becoming tamei, a very bechiddush. Most achronim of the opinion, it's on the outside, the tum is on the outside, but it's not actually touching the inner keli, that's not a kli cheres. Taisus has a different approach. Taisus' approach is that there's a nafkamina if we always say that if something is a different min, it can't be a chatzitza. So here we're saying that the inside keli is made of a different material than the outside keli. The inside is made out of metal, one of the other materials. The outside keli is made out of cheres, and still it could serve as a chatzitza. That's Tosfos' approach in explaining the Gemara's chiddush. Others explain that the chiddush of the Gemara is as follows. That by kli shetef, as I described, the halacha would be that the only reason something that's within the kli shetef will not be tamei is only if the kli shetef is taller than the outer keli. Otherwise it will be tamei. By kli cheres it doesn't even have to be taller. That's why the Gemara is teaching us the din by kli shetef, but also teaching us that it has to be taller. Ask the Gemara a different question. Ask the Gemara, maybe the halacha ought to be that by regular kelim, they don't become tamei from the exterior at all. They only become tamei by a tumah being inside. But what will be the difference between them and kli cheres? That by kli cheres, it's enough that the tumah is suspended in the kli cheres. And by them, they'll actually touch the interior of them. Because you should make the following kal v'chomer, suggest the Gemara. If the kli cheres, which has this chumrah, that it becomes tamei from the interior, ein matamim megaboy, can't become tamei from the exterior, kol hakelim, then all other kelim, she'ein matamim avirim, that don't become tamei from the interior, ein adinshe matamim megaboy, should certainly not become tamei from the exterior. Amakra answers the Gemara, why is that not the halacha? Because let's go back to a pasuk that we learned earlier in our shiur. The pasuk said, "V'kol kli psuach she'ein some pasul of tamehu." That by kli cheres the Torah differentiates when it's in the oil amaze, if it's sealed or it's not sealed. Hayesh tzamin alav tar. What is the Torah teaching us? That only by kli cheres is there this difference if it's sealed or not. Why is there this difference? Because it only becomes tamei from its interior, and that is a difference if the interior is sealed off or not. By all other kelim, the Torah doesn't make that difference. What does that mean? Hakala kelim, all other kelim, bein sheyesh beit tzamin pasul aleihem, bein she'ein tzamin pasul aleihem, even if they're sealed or unsealed, they'll be tamei. So if we're going to say they become tamei from the exterior, we could understand this din very well. But if, as we're suggesting, they don't become tamei from the exterior, why is the halacha that if they're sealed, they're not tamei? It must be because all other kelim do become tamei from the exterior. Another did, again a contrast. Says the Mishnah, tar b'kliyetz, what's tar by a wooden keli, is tamei b'kli matches, is tamei by a metal keli. And what's tar b'kli matches, what's tar by kli matches, is tamei b'kliyetz. And the Gemara right away explains what the Mishnah means. Tana rabbanan, gol m'kliyetz, if you have a kliyetz that is unfinished, but it has a recept, but it's a keli ready, it will be tamei. Pshuteyem, but if it's a flat piece of wood, even if it's a usable flat piece of wood, it'll be tahor. Why? So, all the Rishonim explain, because the Torah compares a kli eitz to a kli sack, a wood keli to a sack. What is the characteristic, what is the definition of a sack? That it has a receptacle. So too, in order for a kli eitz to become tamei, it has to have a receptacle. And that's why Pshuteyem are Tahirim. But once it has that receptacle, even though it's not really completely finished, it's going to be Tahirim. By Klimatchis, it's just the opposite. Gomi Klimatchis, if it's a Klimatchis that's unfinished, and the Gemara is going to describe what that means in a moment, it's Tahir. Pshuteyem, but if it's a flat piece, it'll be Tamei. So we're trying to make the point that even though our Gemara is saying that a flat piece of metal could be Tamei, it doesn't mean that every time you have a piece of metal, a scrap piece of metal will be tamei. It's only going to be tamei if it has a use. But once it has a use, even though it doesn't have a receptacle, it's tamei. Why is the halacha indeed that pshuteim tameim, if it's a flat piece? So the simple answer is because only kli eitz does the Torah compare to kli sak. The Torah doesn't compare kli matkos to sak, so it doesn't have to have a receptacle. One pshat. Another pshat is the Torah, when it speaks about kashering kli matches, says kol dover she'yaver be'esh tavir be'esh. The Torah says kol dover, any type of matches, whether it's pshuteim or not. A third teretz that I saw, a third approach, is that we know The Gemara says this many times. Cherev harei kuchalol. That actually a weapon, like a cherev, is a very high level of tumah. That if it's in the same, if it comes in contact with a mace, not only does it become tumah, it becomes avia avos tumah. It gets the same category. Now let's think about a cherev. So cherev is always the model that's used of a kli matkos that becomes tumah. Now let's think about a sword. A sword doesn't have a receptacle. It's a sharp piece of metal. Yet that is what's always used as the model of what's tumah. So it's obvious that by metal, even pshutayim are tumah. Nimtza, so the Gemara makes, the Brisa makes the obvious summary. What's tar b'kliyetz, as the Mishnah said, is tamei b'klimatches. And what's tar b'klimatches, tamei b'kliyetz. And the Rishat and the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. We've had this type of Gemara in these last dasim numerous times. And every time after the Gemara has such a Brisa, which describes the basic din, what did the Gemara do? The Gemara says, now let's make a kavachaymer and say that the halacha by one should apply by the other. And then the Gemara goes and answers why the kavachaymer is to be refuted. We won't have that in our Gemara. Why? So the Farshim say a beautiful teretz. In all the cases, and you could go back and look at the Gemaras, in all the cases that we've had till now, all of these cases, it's a halacha. It wasn't related to a fact, to a physical fact. It was related to a halacha. So you could ask a kavachaymer that maybe the halacha that's applicable in one situation ought to also be applicable in another situation based on a kavachaymer. Here we're not talking halacha. Here we're talking about what is a keli, what isn't a keli. And the Gemara is defining that by wood, one set of factors make it a keli, and by matchas, a different set of factors make it into a keli. That's not a halacha, that's a reality. There's no kavachaymers on realities. So now the Gemara goes into explaining every halacha. Ve'elehen gol mekliyetz, that we said a moment ago, that a gol mekliyetz a tameh, kol sh'osad loshuf, it will ultimately be polished. L'shabetz means that they're going to put on like studs on it. L'garer, it'll be taken off to be to be planed. L'charkev means that they'll have grooves. Sometimes you see a keli that has engraving on it. Latiach betunas, to put on it, they used to use tuna oil to polish. Even though this keli still needs these things, it won't be tamei. However, the Rishonim make a number of points here. One point they say is that even though it's still missing the polishing, it will be tamei. So some Rishonim say, but if you need to polish it, because otherwise it has pieces of wood sticking out, splinters, then it isn't a keli. Because splinters you won't use. Some want to differentiate. If it's used for personal use, so nobody's going to use a keli that's not polished. If it's just used for not personal use, then if it's a wood keli, it doesn't have to be polished. Furthermore, I must say that even though we're saying now that by wood kelim, pshuteim, are not tamei, the Rishonim say that that's only midaraisa. Midrabanon, pshute kliyetz are tamei, and the machlokes Rishonim how to understand that rule. Some Rishonim say that all pshute kliyetz are tamei, but only midrabanon. Some Rishonim differentiate between if it's a kliyetz that's used for personal use, that then it's tamei midaraisa, everything else is only tamei midrabanon. Continues the braisa, mechusar kan, if it's missing a base, or eugen, or a handle, or oizen, it's missing a handle, tamei. It's still going to be tamei. However, mechusar chatita, if it still needs to be hollowed out, then it's tahar. Ask the Gemara, mechusar chatita, if you have a block of wood that you haven't hollowed out, pshita, it's not a keli. Why does the braisa have to teach us that it's not tamei? Answers the Gemara, loitzricha dechak hapiza bekabel. What's referring to here is that you began hallowing out. But let's say you intended to use it to hallow it out to the size of a kav, a size of a gallon. And you only hallowed out 3/4 of a kav, 3/4 of a gallon. So you did do some hallowing out. Here says the Braisa that even by kliyetz, since it is your intention to hallow out more until you hallow out as much as you intended to, it will be tar. Continues the Braisa, Ve'elein gol me klimatches, that we just learned, that gol me klimatches a tor, koshos loshuf, still needs to be polished. The shabbats, to have the studs, legarer, to do some also smoothing out. Lecharker means to engrave. Lahakish pekornis, it still needs some work with a hammer. All of that are considered gomei kli eitz. Gomei kli matzis and anatomai. Furthermore, mechusser kan, if it's missing the base, mechusser oigen or oizen, it's missing the various handles, again, it's tar. However, mechusser kisui, if it's completely finished, but you haven't made the lid for it, then it's tamei, because it has nothing to do with the keli. The lid and the keli are two separate things. Ask the Gemara, Maishnahani, Maishnahani, why are gomei kli matzis tar and gomei kli eitz tamei? Why are we treating them differently? And this is very much in line with what we discussed earlier in our shir. Because we discussed earlier in our shir that gomei kli matzis are not a keli, and gomei kli eitz are considered a keli. So the Gemara wants to know, why is that way? Answers the Gemara, two terutzim. Rav Yachna Maharil will cover the suyim. Two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that kli matzis are kept, meant to be kept in the break front. They're there to show beauty in the house. And nobody's going to keep something in the break front that isn't completely made, completely finished. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests, the Meiri says this pshat, is that people use kli matzis. In those days, they only used kli matzis to serve when they had distinguished guests. And you're not going to serve a distinguished guest something on a keli that isn't completely finished. That's one approach. Rav Nachman Maharal of the Meim Yekarim. Kli matzis are expensive, and nobody's going to sell it, and nobody's going to buy it, unless it's completely done. My benayu. So they both explain why kli matzis are different than kli eitz. What's nafkamina lahalocha between these two explanations of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nachman? Answers the Gemara, ikka benayu kli etzem. Let's say you have a keli made out of bone. So they are expensive. And therefore, since they're expensive, they should be treated like kli matzis. But they're not used l'kovet. And therefore, they wouldn't be treated like kli matzis. So now it depends what makes kli matzis into special. The fact that they're used for kovet, then kli etzim are different. Or if they're used because they're me'im yikarim, then they are the same. Says the Gemara, v'az the Rav Nachman actually is following his opinion that we find elsewhere. Don Rav Nachman, kli etzim kli matzis tamo. The kli etzim are treated like kli matzis because they're both expensive, and therefore until they're completely finished, they're not makabel tamo. Says the Gemara, but what is obvious from here is the mechlal the kli etzim makabel tamo. That bone kalim are able to makabel tamo. The only question is at what point are they makabel tamo? Says the Gemara, in absolutely, and there's a brayso that corroborates this. The Tanya Rishma Benoish Rav Yochanan Brayko Omer Mat Hamalayim the Torah says the kol masi izim tischato. Any kli made out of goat should become tar. And as the Rishonim explained, it can't come to teach us the leather kalim. Because leather kalim are, the Torah speaks about explicitly. So what does the Torah come to teach us? Lahavi dova habom in izim. It comes to teach us about a keli that's made out of part of the izim. Mina kafnayim from the horns. Mina talfayim from the hoods. For the hoof, those are the bones. That they're considered a keli that are makabel tumah. Continues the Braisa, Shar Behem of Chai Menayim. How do we know that this rule applies not only to goats, but to the bones of all other Kalim? Tamaloimer v'chom Maaseh. That's not limited to goats. So ask the Gemara, Imkei Ma Tamaloimer Izim. So why does the Torah single out goats? What's the Torah trying to teach us? Prat Loifus. That even though we're saying bone Kalim on Makabel Toma, it's only bones from animals, not bones of birds.
Set.
What? Yeah. Says the Mishnah. The halacha is that when fruit, produce of Eretz Yisrael have to take off Meiser. Now typically, to be mechuyev Meiser, you have to have two rules. You have to have two characteristics. Number one is it should be edible food. And number two, it has to be a food that's finished, that's completely done. So says the bright Mishnah, Hachayiv b'shkedim marim, when bitter almonds are chayiv emaiser, potter b'masukim, sweet ones will be potter, chayiv b'masukim, And when sweet ones are potter, when sweet ones are chai, potter and marm. The Gemara right way explains. Tanabonim. Shkedim ha-marm. These bitter almonds. So what happens with the bitter almonds is that when they're small, they're still edible. Although the Bi'er Loch has a very interesting approach. The Bi'er Loch's approach is that when they're small, you don't eat the almonds. You eat the shell. But we're not going to work with that. When they're small, they're still edible. And that's where the chayovim. Ketanim chayovim. So that's edible when they're small, and that's why you chayiv. Gedolim, but once they become bigger, they're bitter, and they're not edible, and that's why they're potter from ma'isa. Mesukim, but the sweet ones, the halacha is as follows. Gedolim, when they're big, chayovim, because that's when they're really complete. When the ketanim, even though it could be that they're edible, but they're not finished. And I said a moment ago, in order to be chayiv and ma'isa, it has to be finished, and that's why it's p'turim. So before we go further, to help us make the Gemara gishmak, we have to have an attitude here. We have to have another perspective to this Gemara. Because ma'isar, especially to us who live in Chutz La'aretz, is not a relevant issue. But what is issue is a bracha. Because we know what is the bracha on almonds? Ho'etz. However, you only make a bracha on something that's edible. Ho'etz, you only make it on an edible. So now, what will be the halacha on the large almonds, the bitter almonds that when they get big, they're so bitter, they're really not edible? You wouldn't make a eitz. You'd only make a shahakal. However, by the sweet ones, even though as far as hilchas meiser are concerned, our Gemara just taught us, we're going to talk about it more in a moment, that halacha is that they're not chayiv and meiser until they get big, at least according to our Mishnah and this brisa. Bracha, since they are edible when they're small, maybe not chayiv and meiser yet, but they're edible, you would make a eitz both when they're small and when they're large. Says the Gemara, so there's a machlokes rishonim. How to understand what does the Mishnah mean? What does the Gemara mean? Zev zeh liftar. Rashi says that zev zeh liftar is talking about the ketanim. That both the small marim and the small masukim are potter when they're small. Why? Let's think about it. If the sweet ones are obvious, because they still need to become big. But even the bitter ones, this shita holds that anything that's small, even though when it's big it's not going to be edible, it doesn't make a difference. If it's small, you don't take off ma'isa from it. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has a very different approach. Most of Shurim actually agree with Tosfos' pshat. Zev zeh liftar is talking about the shkedim hamorim. And what the Gemara is saying is that shkedim hamorim, whether they're big, or whether they're small, they're always potter. Why? Let's think about it. When they're big, that the potter is obvious because they're not edible. And when they're small, because they're small. And that's why they're always potter. So the big machlokes how to learn this. And the same machlokes will go the next line. V'amri lo, zev zeh chayovim. So Rashi explains, what does zev zeh chayovim mean? The chayovim means that both the marim and the mesukim, when they're finished, they're chayiv. Why? Because if they're godly, you're always chayiv, even if it's bitter. According to Rashi's pshat, the halacha will be, there's really no nafkamina la halacha. Because Rashi's saying, according to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, small ones are always potter, and big ones are always chayiv. So the two lishonos don't necessarily disagree. Talmud Farshim say that even Rashi would agree that there's a disagreement, but that's not Pash Pshat. Tosfos, however, learns, Zev zeh lechiyuv is talking about the Marim. There's a very big machlokes. According to the first Lashon, by Marim, both small and large, a chayiv. And according to the second Lashon, by Marim, both small and large, a potter. And according to the second Lashon, by Marim, both small and large, a chayiv. So there's a very big nafkamina, la halacha. Omer of Allah, Harib Chanina B'Tzipari, Kedivar Omer, Zev Zelaftar. That they're always potter. Ask the Gemara, we're learning like Rashi. That it means that when they're small, they're always potter. Ask the Gemara, Ulaman Domer Zev Zelachiev, but according to the second Lashon, that says that when they're large, even the Gemara Machayev, let's understand this. How can you say the Chayev? We've been learning our entire shear that they're inedible. How could you say that something that's inedible is chayif? Answers the Gemara, gedol l'may chazul, they're inedible. Answers the Gemara, ha'el amrav yochna, ha'el v'yoch l'mask may they are, they can't become edible. Because even if they're large and bitter, if you roast them, they become edible. So therefore, when they're large and you roast them, you'll have to take off mice. But according to this, all the pais can make this point. Let's say you'll have these large almonds. You wouldn't be chayiv to take off meiser until you actually do the roasting, that it becomes edible. And this is the basis for a very important shayla laloch l'maisa. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses in the shayla of Chuvos Micha Shloima. He discusses the issue of bananas. When bananas are picked from a tree, they're always inedible. They're always inedible. You have to let them be off the tree and become ripe. Or, he discusses another issue, the small apples that usually if you don't let them grow on the tree, they're very sour. You have to keep them off the tree for a while to even be able to eat them. They'll be sour then, but you have to wait a little while to make them edible. So when will you be chayiv and maestras, he discusses. Will the chayiv maestras come as soon as you take it off the tree, like by all other fruits? Or since they're inedible until you let the bananas ripen and you let these sour apples not be that sour, you have to wait. So Paskins, interesting psak, that you chayiv right away. Al Gemara says you have to wait till it becomes edible. He says you can't compare the two cases. In Al Gemara, it's not just you have to wait, you have to actually do something. You have to roast them. So, and the roasting is what makes them edible. So since you have to wait till you roast them, until then it's not edible, you're not chayiv. But now you don't have to do anything, you just have to wait. So since you don't have to physically do anything, the chayiv ma'aser comes right away. But it could be, he discusses there, that indeed, the halacha would be, if there are bananas or other fruits, that's not just that you pick them and you wait, but you have to go through some process to make them edible, it will not be chayiv ma'aser until you actually went through that process.